Hi, I'm Alex.
And I'm Tom.
And I'm HT. Should we do that again?
We grew up in a world of online
animation. Hi, I'm Alex.
And I'm Tom.
And I'm HT.
And this week on Flash in the Pan, we've got a special guest with us to finally crack open the case of Homestar Runner. Flash in the Pan! Flash in the Pan! Hi, and welcome to another episode of Flash in the Pan.
Welcome back.
This is the podcast where we drag, kicking and screaming, the strange monsters that you'd long forgotten underneath your bed, spruce them up, put them in a nice suit, and make them talk about podcasts.
Oh, wow, okay. Sure.
And we have a very special monster with us today, yes. Who is also a podcaster. This is HT.
Hi! I'm HT, the raccoon, if you watch or listen to my podcast at all.
You have a podcast?
I do. It's called Toontown Public Works. You may have heard it on Bim Bam that one time, because I paid them money.
I mean, fair enough.
Yeah,
we're gonna play the game.
Yeah.
That's me and a few other people, Casey and Cirque, and we just watch cartoons that fall into the public domain or otherwise easily accessible. But just basically we want to look at old stuff to see if there's anything worthwhile to look at it, and a lot of times there is. Sometimes there's not.
Yeah, when you say old, you mean like old.
Like real, yeah.
Oh, no, like some of like the first cartoons in history. That's how old.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Like I think the earliest one we've watched was like from like 1918 or something like that.
Wow.
Ah, yes, the Kaiser's favorite tune.
We also did actually, back for Decemberween last year, we actually did have a Homestar special.
Yes, you did.
Oh.
Because a bunch of people on my show actually have some pretty strong ties to, like, the Homestar Runner stuff. Our editor, his name is Alex. It's a different Alex than this Alex, which is a different Alex
so
than the Alex from another podcast that I know.
So I know at least
three podcast Alexes.
Yeah, I think we've had about three write in as well.
Yes, we have, yeah.
Yeah, so, but, like, yeah, we got a... But, yeah, my Alex, Alex Lemer, he was actually in the short biopic film, experimental film, which was basically about the brothers Chaps.
Now, our Alex, you yes. are not aware of this film, I don't think.
I am aware, but I just haven't seen it.
You haven't seen it yet?
Yeah.
It's actually pretty interesting.
It looked good from the trailer I saw. I made a mental note, like, I'll have to watch that, but just haven't got around to it, yeah.
Yeah, it's a nice little indie film that's like, you know, sort of the unlikely beginnings of an unlikely superstar.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, they actually went to several of the locations that were, like, formative to the Brother Chap's sense of humor and style, basically.
Cool.
Apparently the Brother Chap's actually did watch it, and they actually really liked it, so that's cool.
That's good. That's
I mean,
good.
That's what you want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it's really good, and it's, yeah, it's, like, they did have, like, a direct input from someone. I just don't remember who it was. But, like, yeah, they had, like, someone who can actually, like, oh, that's right. The person who did the music for it, I don't know his real name. I know him by Slackerduke on Twitter. And he's kind of significant because he's actually the only person who's ever gotten their fursona drawn by the Brothers Chaps.
wait. Okay. But before we go, we should mention the Brothers Chaps are, for those who somehow don't know, like,
yes.
The Brothers Chaps are the pair behind Homestar Runner, mm-hmm. which is the Flash phenomenon we're going to be looking at today. But yeah, no. So you know a guy who's actually had their character drawn by the Brothers Chaps.
Yeah, and they actually were in there actually were in a couple shorts. Well, actually, like, they were in one short specifically. Like, there was, like, a part where they had, like, they did some music for one of the most recent Spemales. The
wow.
Strong Bad Emails, if you don't know. He also was one of the, like, voices that was going, like when, like, Strong Bad was, like, say, and there was, like, in the background, there was, like, yay, and like that kind of thing, like just like a tepid cheer. He was one of those.
That's really good.
While I'm thinking about it, my Alex from Alex Lemer from Toontown Public, he was in the most recent Fanstooms video. He was actually the thumbnail for it, where he was the guy who has, who went completely bald and like did face paint of Strong Bad on his face, and then like Strong Bad's like riff was like, the system is bald. The system is bald.
And then that's great.
It's great. It was honestly really cool that. But yeah, honestly, I don't know why you don't have my Alex on right now, because I all I am is just a super fan. Like, he actually has.
Well, I know ties. You, so
that's fair. That's fair.
Maybe we can get him on.
I mean, this will definitely not be our last Homestar episode, because as anyone who's even had a cursory glance at YouTube or the internet in general would know, there is an arseload of Homestar.
There's a lot. There's so much.
There are hundreds of short cartoons, some longer ones. You've got music videos. Mm-hmm. You've got puppet shows. You've got games.
Yeah.
You've got a couple of live-action videos. I think what we're going to do is we're going to start things off with one of the earliest viral Homestar tunes, I think.
Yeah.
It's from, I think, 2002? I think it's from 2002. Let me just double check that.
Yeah, it's also the tune that if you go onto Homestar Runner's website and you actually like watch the intro, like the actual like or like the one that's, I think it's not the like the what is this site thing or like first time here button. It will like there'll be like after the little short thing where like Homestar's like messing up saying homestarrunner.com like a billion times. Strongbad comes in, like, gives a link to the Speemails, the link to the Homestar Talker game, and then it's this cartoon right here. So it's, like, one of the first ones new members would see.
Yeah, this is likely one of the first Homestar Runner cartoons anyone would have seen. And, yeah, it's back from 2001, so even earlier than I remembered. In that case, I think we should watch. Oh, before we watch, I forgot to mention that you can find links to all of the stuff we talk about on our website at flashinthepancast.com. And we'll also have YouTube links if you're watching on your phone, which is nice of us, really. Yeah.
Especially since Flash is dead.
Look, we work bloody hard, okay? But yeah, so let's head off and learn about what really makes a job well done.
Coach C, you need to make your mouth into an O like this.
You mean like this?
And we're Bork.
I should mention that this morning I am wearing my Coach Z shirt.
Nice.
Excellent.
Very good.
Did you do that on purpose?
Yes, actually, because I wanted to, like...
Coach, that's really sweet of you.
Like, Coach C is legitimately my favorite character in Homestar Runner on so many levels.
Oh, wow.
He's pretty great.
He's, because, like, he, of all the characters, has, like, the least of any sort of, like, development or character or, like, in terms of anything, but he is... distinct in a very specific way.
Very distinct.
Yeah, you learn so much about him just from this 4-minute short.
Yep.
Apart from his terminal Minnesota accent.
But like, I will argue that this short one is a good introduction to all the characters in general, I feel
yeah.
like.
Yeah.
Yes, actually. Yes, right. Yeah.
But I would also say that this is also the most subdued I've seen Homestar in a long time. And because it is really so early on, because it's like... because, you see, in this one, Coach Z is just a weirdo. He's just a guy who can't say a word right. Which, you know, is funny. It actually is funny. I like his accent. I like them making fun of that accent. But, like... over time, he evolves from that to that really creepy white guy who won't stop rapping with you. You know, it's just like, he's this, there's this term that goes around in like some circles called Flanderization, which is like
when
you're like a character like Ned Flanders, who starts off as just like a he's just this really nice guy, has everything he is, and he's but he's also a Bible nut, he goes to church every week and all that kind of stuff like that. But then over time, because they have that joke there, he just gets written as even more of a Christian nut and just gets even more and more extreme with that stuff.
Yeah. And his vocal tics become even more bizarre more, and constant.
More pronounced,
and so on.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's just
as,
like...
As the producers home in on what they think the audience like most.
Yeah.
I think they were correct.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I think they're correct, because I don't think Flanderization is always a bad thing, because, honestly, Homestar Runner, every character from here, basically, is a Flanderized version of their... Like, maybe... The only one who maybe isn't is Strong Bad, because he's actually weirdly the most nuanced character on Homestar Runner. But, like...
No, you know what? I think that's fair.
But, like, he's a... But, like, like everyone else just becomes a more and more exaggerated version of their... Basically where they start here. Except for maybe Pom Pom, who is everyone's favorite character, obviously. So much so that the
Pom-Pom
brothers
Pom-Pom
have to even admit that they hate Pom Pom. but, like... I don't know. It's just... It's... I think this is a really fun introduction to this stuff, and I do love, like, I think I quote this cartoon every other day, it seems like.
Yeah, I mean, every time I'm impressed with something that someone has done, there is always a tiny synapse firing in the back of my brain that says, tell them they did a great job, you know?
Great job.
Yeah, and just the punchline at the end where it turns out that he can't say Homestar's name now, like that's just cute.
Yeah,
like so I made two notes during this tune, because I make notes occasionally. One of them is that I mean, we don't really learn that much about Coach Z, but we do learn that he seems to live in the locker room.
That's 100% canon at this point.
Like his only belongings are like the bench, a single white blanket, and a ghetto blaster.
Like in like the Strong Bad games, like every character pretty much has a house or a room where they live in for the most part, except for maybe like Pom Pom and Coach Z. And Coach Z just lives at the freaking at the locker room. It's great.
Yeah, but it reminds me a lot of, because, like, one of the main origins of Homestar Runner as a thing came when the Brothers Chaps basically thought that they should write their own children's book.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so all the characters come out of their attempt to make this strange, wacky cast of characters for kids.
Yeah.
And I think Coach Z is the perfect illustration. You know how, like, when you're a really young kid, you just assume that the teachers live at the school?
Yeah.
Like, and this is the logical conclusion of that. Where,
if
they did live at the school, they'd be really creepy and weird.
Yeah, exactly. Coach Z is what happens if you actually make someone live at the school gym.
Homestar Runner basically started as the Brothers Chaps making a parody of these really weird children, because they would go to like bookstores and libraries and go to the children's section just to find the weirdest children's books that they could find. And just like,
which is still an excellent pursuit, by the way.
Yeah, and like they would also do like that thing that Strong Bad would do in like later emails, where they would like take a book that has like a really generic kind of kids book and then cross out words and then write in really ridiculous stuff and then draw over them, you know?
Yes.
They would actually do that in real life. And it's great, because like if you think of like Homestar Runner as sort of like taking that picture book and making it like that really weird one-shot picture book and then actually making a world around it, like it basically highlights the stuff that just is so incredibly weird about those kind of books. Like, because like you said, like the teacher lives at the school. He's like one-dimensional. The only thing that's remarkable about him, at least at first, is that he has a weird accent of some sort.
The other thing that I wrote down, which I don't want to forget about, because so during the training montage where they are training him how to say the word job, which while very simple, just like the methods of teaching, where Homestar just writes down the word job and then writes down the word juyerb
and crosses out
crosses out the wrong one. And that's just charming. But one of the techniques is to sit him down in a cinema, Clockwork Orange style, just flash the word job at him.
I'd forgotten about the Clockwork Orange.
Yeah, he gets the full Ludovico technique.
And don't forget that for some reason, Tom Servo's there.
Yep, Tom Servo is there.
Really?
You can see Tom Servo's silhouette next to Coach Z.
Oh, yeah, I completely missed that.
Yeah, yeah, it's there. And part of me just assumes it's because, like, hey, they're like MST3K, because Mystery Science Theater was a huge cultural touchstone for pretty much everyone of that generation.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But also because MST3K is famously, proudly, Minnesotan.
Yes.
That's true. Yeah, that's actually a good point.
And vocally at least, so is Coach Z. And so maybe this is their way of paying tribute.
I don't think Coach Z would be the best representative for Minnesota.
Okay, that's fair.
Like, he starts off as weird Minnesotan dude to, like, just this creepy homeless dude. Like, that's what he is.
He has a home. It's just where people get changed.
Like, it's... oh, God.
But yeah, this is a fun tune. And, like, I remember way back when I first saw this, I thought, oh, you know what? This is a funny cartoon.
Yeah.
Maybe I will keep refreshing this site every now and then with my pre-broadband browser.
At your middle school computer lab.
I'll tell all my friends to go to www.homestarrunner.com. Pretty much almost all the major characters are there.
Almost
all of them. Mm-hmm. We get snippets of their personality. We get Homestar, who is good-natured, kind of a doof.
Well, I mean, I would argue he's actually kind of a douchebag in this one. Because he's making fun of his accent.
Gonna say, yeah,
okay,
like,
that's
the first
fair.
Thing he does is like, wait, what?
Yeah, but I
mean, it'd be one thing if he was like, I think if this cartoon was made today, Homestar would be like more like misunderstanding what he's saying, and like he would think Jarb would be like some other word, like
yeah,
I don't know, but like this one, he just straight up was like, he knows that he's saying the word wrong, and he's kind of being a jerk, and he calls Pom Pom over to make fun of him. Basically,
all the characters seem a lot more like college, like teenagers in high school.
Oh yeah,
in
sure.
This one,
yeah,
rather than in later tunes, as we'll get into, where they feel like where if they do have a real world analog, it's like layabout college kids.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Like, Strongbad is just shown as having a gang, which consists of him,
Strongbad, and the Cheat.
Yeah, Strongbad and the Cheat. I do like that the Cheat's gold tooth has been canon for this long.
Oh, yeah. I think it's funny because it's like, in that scene with Strongbad, and Cheat, like, Homestar Runner is actually pretty consistent to having either very bland backgrounds or, like, using the same ones over and over again. But there's just this one scene where they're on, like, a city street with graffiti on the wall, which I assume Strongbad did, that, like, never shows up anywhere else.
And also, you know what? Like, I never even really paid much attention to it before, but I do like the thematic consistency with Strongbad being, like, wearing, like, a luchador mask and boxing gloves, and Strongmad is just wearing, like, an old-timey wrestling singlet.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I guess I never thought of that.
Yeah. I mean, like... It makes complete sense.
And the Cheat is just always nude.
And the Cheat is always nude, yes.
Like all my favorite nude wrestlers. My favorite nude animal wrestlers.
The three styles of wrestling.
Luchador.
Luchadors, traditional Olympic wrestling, and naked animals.
Ah, God.
Ah, right. I think we should probably move on to the next tune.
Yes, let's do that.
Yeah, so I believe the next one we're going to cover is a musical, a musical tune, a music video called Experimental Film.
It's for this experimental film, which nobody knows about, and which I'm still figuring out what's going to go in my experimental film. Yeah, you're all going to...
And we're back.
This... is great for me for two reasons. One, it has a lot of Powered by the Cheat, which is the, like, so there's this whole running gag in Homestar Runner, if you don't know this. There's this thing where, like, the cheat actually does, like, flash animations.
Yep.
And he does this very, like, he seems to do, he does, like, a lot of tweening. He does a lot of, like, really weird, like, loops and, like, just this messy art style. And it, I love Powered by the Cheat. It's honestly some of my favorite content on Homestar Runner because it's 100% like it's like there's so many weird jokes that happen, and it feels like whenever you stumble upon someone's like flash animation that they made for like just themselves and their friends, and has all their in jokes, and you have no idea what's so even going on. Like it's that's what Powered by the Cheat feels like to me, and I love that stuff. It's so incredibly nostalgic to me.
Yeah, I know totally what you mean. Like all the little strangenesses, like the skull tentacle guy cycling past. Like
my favorite gag of that one was like the one that made me laugh the hardest was that. For some reason, the cheat decided to make this one of the courses, because the course is like experimental film, and he writes experimental film on like a piece of loose leaf, and then like the cotton gin and stuff like that, and then it turns out was a test, and he got an A+ because of it. And I don't know.
Yeah, but I'm really glad that the cheat is so intelligent to pass the test.
The cheat is a millionaire.
The cheat is a millionaire and has 9 trophies.
Maybe a pizza trophy. But but the other thing that really gets me is the other half of the film, which is that it is strong sad making an experimental film. Which I kind of jumped ahead because we kind of, before we even explain what experimental film even is, it's a music video, an official music video by the Homestar guys for They Might Be Giants' song Experimental Film.
They Might Be Giants are, well, they're one of my favorite bands, for sure. Mm-hmm. They are a strange and wonderful, usually indie, or at least indie aesthetic, couple of weird nerds who have been making music
forever.
Of all kinds since, like, 1982. Yeah,
they are incredibly prolific as well.
Yeah, hugely prolific, and this album that this song is from, like, this music video got me into They Might Be Giants as a thing. And so I have such fond memories attached to it. And this is still one of my very favorite They Might Be Giants songs. And like this cartoon and just the earnestness in fiction, the earnestness of both Strong Sad and The Cheat in making their own visions for this film.
Yeah.
Like, and how, yeah, this has everything that Strong Sad wants in it, but it also got everything that the cheat wants in it.
Yeah.
And it's this bizarre, cobbled together mishmash of their clashing artistic visions, but it still works.
It works, because it's experimental.
Yeah. And I love that. I think it perfectly captures what the song is about. That sort of thrill of unbridled enthusiasm to make something, you know?
Yeah.
Like, because the thing is, with the Strong Bad side of it, like, it's... I actually... Oh, God. In high school, I did make an experimental film.
I've made a couple of experimental
films.
Well,
you did
as well.
Film.
I did.
In uni,
yes,
so.
I did.
I mean, like, I actually, like, put him into a film festival that was in my, a student film festival at that time, and I actually won an award for it.
My goodness.
Yeah, but, like, I don't have it online anywhere because it's so hard for me to watch now. It's, like,
Would you be comfortable telling us what it's about? Because I'm intrigued now.
Okay, the premise is that, it's all about how... As a kid and as an adult, for some strange reason, I had a very negative reaction to, like, corduroy, like, the feeling of corduroy and, like a cheap velvet on my skin. Like, it made me, like, shiver.
Oh, no, that is a very unpleasant.
Yeah, it's a very...
I have to agree with you on that.
And, like, I use that as sort of, like, a jumping board of, like, me talking about how much I feel like... that. Well, I mean, it really does come off as like, oh, everyone's different, and why not like them, and all that kind of stuff. Which, honestly, it was actually part of a real angst that I was having at the time. And actually, I kind of...
Yeah, no, that sounds like the perfect mindset that would create an experimental film about their about their loss in life, honestly.
I think it's a lot more sophisticated than I probably give it credit for, than I, like... Because, like, there are some things about it that actually I feel, when I think back to it, actually illustrate some things I would actually learn about myself later on. But, like, the thing is that, like, the reason why I, like, find experimental so funny is because it has so many things that I did. Like, specifically, the split screen effect.
Yeah. Same,
oh, wow.
Same.
Did you do this on purpose?
It wasn't, like, well, I mean, yeah, I did it on purpose. It was, like, it was a lot more seamless than what Strong Bad was doing, but, like...
yeah.
The split screen effect was
teens. Yeah. So to bring it back to the this music video. So I really like the scattering of references to like famous art films. So you've got Strong Sad dressed as the Grim Reaper, like in The Seventh Seal.
Oh yeah, Edna Burton. Yeah, I was gonna mention that.
I mean, it's in black and white, obviously, because it has to be an art film in black and white.
Mine was.
We also get. oh yeah, we also get. There's a scene where Strong Sad looks at his hands, but there are cracks in his palms. And there's like cheese flying out of them.
Oh no, it's the cheese. It's little baby.
Yeah,
I was like,
yeah.
Little cheese flying. But that's a reference to a scene in Un Chien Andalou, the famous surrealist short film.
Oh wow.
Where there are ants crawling out of a crack in someone's hand.
Oh my god.
I once had a dream as a kid where I hurt my hand on a mouse and I could see inside it, and there was like these weird gears inside of it.
Whoa.
Yeah, I don't know. Man, do you...
Are you sure that was a dream? Are we talking to a very sophisticated podcasting robot?
I mean, I was knocked out by a guy in glasses like a few moments later, and then I woke up like in a ditch somewhere, but you know, I think it was just a dream.
Okay, fair enough. also, there's one thing which I know it was just put in to, like, look kind of neat, but also, I wanna dive into this, right?
Okay.
So, a lot of the experimental film is concerned with money and the acquisition of money, right?
Mm, yes, the ATM.
Yeah, the ATM, talks about deposits, but then it throws out, you know, huge, you know, dollar sign bags and so on. Mm. But, at some point in the middle of the video, when the ATM is just starting to become important, Homestar is playing it like an arcade game, right?
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, and so you've got four president heads, because that's what's on money in America. You've got four president heads, and you've got the little Space Invaders ship is the dollar sign, which is shooting at and destroying the president heads. And I wonder. I wonder if this, perhaps, is a commentary on the way that modern capitalist society erases the true works of historical figures in favor of a watered-down and marketable narrative of their lives as quote-unquote great men in history.
I think Strongbad supports that. I think Strongbad supports that strong hardcore. So
yes, I think if you asked Strongsad, he'd be like, "Yeah, that's totally what
that
I
was
meant."
Really
you can tell
good
that.
Yeah.
Strongsad has always been the character that I love the most, and not just like the general like growing up as like a depressed fat kid thing, but also just in terms of like his demeanor and his. I don't know, just there's something about Strong Sad that has always appealed to me, just personality-wise.
He's one of the most genuine.
Yeah, he's one of the most genuine, and also, like, the most genuinely, consistently kind characters.
Yeah.
Because, everyone in these tunes has their, like, mean streaks, or, like, they play pranks, and they have jokes and that kind of stuff, but Strong Sad, like, never seems to do anything at anyone else's expense.
Unless they're... Except for the few times that, like, yeah, he would, like, actively, like, trick, like, Strong Bad, you know?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But like,
yeah, but that's it. That comes from a place of like sibling rivalry rather than...
Right, right. I think Strong Bad is pretty incredible because he's a character that for the large swaths of it, like, I agree with and all that kind of stuff, and but he could still get his ass kicked, and I feel like it's okay because he's kind of a douchebag at times.
Entirely fair.
Like, it's like, I normally really hate characters that are, like, really smart proxies for, like, an intelligent person, and then all I do is just get beaten up by idiots, you know? Because I feel like that it's kind of, like, unfair and kind of, like, cheap, you know? I don't know. Strongbad works because he also is like living within this weird bubble of like privilege and like self like basically like fetishizing his own sadness in a way, which I know isn't a nice thing to say. I don't think it's actually
no. That I mean that's
but like
that's not inaccurate.
No,
like,
yeah,
he kind of does, and it's like like when I see people like that where they're like just like sad and superior, like try to like pass that off. It's just like, oh my god, I just want to. I roll my eyes so much. So like,
yeah, I think he's bought into his own identity as a tortured artist.
Yeah, like, and it's like I don't dislike Strong Bad. I actually really really love Strong Bad for the right reasons as well. But like, it's just like it's a good version of that type of character or like thing where it's like a smart guy who gets like shat on by the dumb idiots because that's the joke, you know?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah.
Only a couple more things I wanted to point out about the video itself, right? So outside of all the stuff we said, there are a couple of cute little references. Like, first of all, in a couple of scenes, you can see the tops of two people's heads. Those are John Flansburgh and John Linnell, who are the two frontmen of They Might Be Giants.
Oh, okay.
Which I think is a cute little shout out.
Yeah,
I wasn't sure. If
and
like
also,
a biz. Oh no, God.
Oh no, I was gonna say. And also, right near the end, at one point, Strong Sad is being chased by the ATM, and the ATM is wearing a Commander Keen helmet.
What?
Oh my god!
Or like a helmet that is basically the same kind that Commander Keen has.
Wow. Okay.
Well, there you go.
I don't know.
Is this a Wolfenstein?
I don't know if that's
is
just...
this a Wolfenstein sequel then?
You know what? No.
Homestar Runner is basically after the like several like centuries after the events of Wolfenstein 2. There you go.
I'm BJ Blazkowicz. I'm gonna stop you, Mecha Hippo.
Yeah, I would accept that.
Yeah, no, you know, I would also
I
would watch that.
Accept that.
Yeah, no, I think so too. I think BJ Blazkowicz and Homestar Runner would be great friends.
You know,
oh,
what?
Absolutely.
I think so too, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, BJ can supply the arms, and Homestar can supply...
Literally.
Yeah, experimental film is it's a nice music video. Like,
it's very good.
Like, it really works in the context of the song, but it also works if you've never heard of the band before.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh yeah, you know, this is completely in character for what these guys would make together.
Yeah.
And yeah, it still makes me smile watching it because I'm like, you know what? I get it.
It kind of does in a little bit. It does show the characters kind of interacting in a way that they wouldn't usually. Like, there's a scene of, like, I think Homestar and Strongbad, like, kind of getting on really well together, which is not the norm.
No,
really,
it's not. I think that was just because they wanted to say, hey, this is a music video with the Homestar crew, hey, just in case you didn't know, you know, recognize Strongbad or whatever, you know.
Yeah, but it's nice to see like characters that don't generally get along. Like,
all right.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think it's also just to make one final point. It's really interesting to see. So it's the experimental film music video is 2004, early 2004.
Yeah,
that's 2004. In the 3 years between the previous cartoon and this one, Homestar Runner has become enough of a thing in nerd culture and in internet culture that one of the biggest nerd bands basically commissions them for a project.
That's true, yeah. And
that is fucking wild.
Yeah, it is wild.
Oh, while we're on the subject of They Might Be Giants and Homestar, before we go, because one thing that I should mention is that to this day, whenever they are in the same area as the Brothers Chaps, like the They Might Be Giants, like when they're doing like a concert or tour or whatever, they always invite them in there, and they always bring Puppet Homestar on stage to sing with them.
Yes, they
that's
do.
That's awesome. I didn't know. Oh my god, that's great.
Yeah, it's great. I've only seen They Might Be Giants live once, and they sadly did not, because the Brothers Chaps don't live in London.
No.
But,
no.
Like, yeah. Everyone's homework is go out and see They Might Be Giants live, if you can.
It's not bad homework.
Sure thing, dude.
But yeah, no, that's really cool, yeah.
Yeah.
So, let us do one more tune, and then let's have a flurry of emails. How's that sound?
That sounds good.
Yeah, so let's head on a couple of years, and let's watch Looking at a Thing in a Bag.
Ah, we need to figure out how to get some drinks. Like, without having to actually get some drinks. Oh, the man with the plan.
And we're back.
We're back.
So, this is a tune I actually was not... I'm not super familiar with, actually. It's one of the few I haven't seen a bunch of.
Yeah, it's... I think it's flown under the radar, but I still quite like it.
Yeah.
Just as a little microcosm of like, the characters' daily lives.
Yeah, it's... It definitely, at this point, you can see that they have established the dynamics of every character, more or less.
Pretty much, yeah.
Though I will say that, so basically the premise is that Strong Bad, Strong Mad, and the Cheat are lazy watching TV show, which has the song TV Show, TV Show, TV Show, TV Show.
Yes.
And they want to get drinks, but nobody wants to get up and do it and get the drinks. So, and Strongback comes up with a plan, and it is the most convoluted, weird plan
to get drinks. Good.
So specifically, just like it's okay. So the plan is they're gonna pretend they're looking in bags, and then when Homestar gets curious, they'll tell him not to look at the bag. They tell Homestar to get them drinks. Homestar will get drinks from Bubs for all of them, and then bring them drinks, and then tell Homestar Lee once he brings drinks. And then...
Yeah.
But the thing is, it's really funny. It's just like... So, you would think, okay, so the plan is that Strong Bad wants to get free drinks and on Homestar's dime, basically. That's what they want to do. But that's not what's happening here. because what's happening is that Bubs is in on it and donated 4 free drinks.
So it becomes, instead of, hey, we're thirsty, it becomes, let's, like, demonstrate Homestar's loyalty?
Yeah.
Like, let's just fuck with Homestar for, like, 2 minutes with the help of Bubs.
Yeah, like, this... So if we compare this to the first tune we watched, right, where in the first tune it felt very much like a kind of, like... high school prank kind of thing.
Yeah.
This one is very much a bored university student thing.
It is, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, like, just the first scene with them just rotting on the sofa together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In front of nothing, and like, oh, I'm thirsty, but I just don't want to get up.
Yeah.
Like, I think I've lived that.
Yeah, I think we've all lived that.
Yeah. And then, you know, like, roping in, like, that one guy who wants to be friends with you, you know, which is, I mean, and it does feel kind of mean.
Yeah.
I mean, not that like, I mean, Strong Bad is fundamentally kind of mean for fun, but like in this case, it feels a little bit too real.
Yeah.
A little bit because
go on.
When Bubs comes in, he's like, he straight up tells Homestar that he's a liar.
Yeah.
Like, twice. Like, just says to his face, you are a liar.
And
that's a nice trick, liar.
Well, I like...
I like...
It's like, see, with this tune, yeah, it is kind of a bit too real at times in terms of, like, how they're manipulating Homestar. And Homestar's reaction is... Well, here's the thing. The way they fix this is they don't make Straw Bat stop manipulating Homestar or anything like that, or tricking Homestar in any way. What they do is they make Homestar feel like he's in on it the entire time. Like, that's how they make it. So, you know, Homestar's not miserable at the end. He's just, you know, he just is... He's in a weird position, but he's fine because he knows where he is and he's happy with what's going on.
I think... Yeah? I think... Sorry to interrupt, but I think I just cracked the code.
Oh boy. Okay.
So the majority of the tune is about Homestar finding acceptance among his peers, right? Mm-hmm. Which includes Bubs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Like he and Bubs have a great rapport going on.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Like they jam together, which mm-hmm. I appreciate.
Yeah.
And Homestar is so invested in wanting to know what the cool thing in a bag is that at the end of the tune, he becomes the cool thing in a bag by putting the bag on his own head.
Aww. He's my cool thing in the bag.
He thinks he's cool, so he gets inside the bag.
Yeah, exactly. he's fulfilled his purpose at that point.
It's always sad when you actually see, like, Homestar actually sad about something.
Yeah.
That's definitely true.
Like, I mean, it's one thing for him, like, to be weeping hysterically over Little Buddha, but like you know.
oh no
It's one thing for him to be crying over that, but it's another thing to be him being superior, like completely and utterly like embarrassed amongst everyone he finds cool, and then like hiding himself in a bag at the end. It's
there is that.
Yeah. It's not like it's a bad tune for any stretch of the imagination. I still really love this. There's actually a lot of really I just still really love how convoluted Strong Bad's plan was. It's the best
thing. Yes, that part's the best part, I think.
Yeah, I really like that we don't see any of the intermediate steps. We learn there's a plan, and then we see the plan being carried out. And we have to kind of think back and wonder, oh, what point did this... at what point did they fulfill the original goal of getting free drinks?
It's like, at what point did Strong Bad go over to Bub's concession stand where the drinks are, tell Bub's about the thing, get the bags, stand by the stick looking into them, and wait for Homestar to show up?
Like, they could have just, like, had it where, like, oh god, they could have, like, tricked Bubs there and just took the drinks and left. But no, they wanted the fucking
Homestar. Or just asked Bubs for them because he seemed...
Yeah, Bubs is pretty chill.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, this is also, this is the most egalitarian that Bubs has ever been to in general. Because, like...
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, because, like, basically from here on out, he just becomes the sleaziest businessman alive.
Yeah.
Which is great. Yeah. I think that's hilarious.
But he's the kind of like sleazy self-made businessman that like everyone secretly wishes they were.
Yeah.
Kinda, yeah.
I mean, he's the only one that seems to
have his shit together.
Yeah, he's the only one that seems to be reliably earning any income.
There is that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't want to be selling organs on the black market like he does in the Homestar game, but
okay, yeah, that's fair. Well, I mean, that's a different thing.
Yeah,
this is a fun cartoon, and I actually think is a perfect example, like more so than even like earlier tunes we were watching, of like what the style of humor Homestar Runner is. You know, like,
yeah,
like it's a weird surrealist plot where you with very defined characters.
Almost every Homestar tune that I can think of has a sort of consistent logic that makes the most sense if you're about 12.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it also makes perfect sense in that specific cartoon, but if you take it out of that context, it makes no goddamn sense, and that's great. Because it has its eternal logic, and that's why it works.
I think we should finish off with a brief Strong Bad email flurry.
Yes.
Okay.
If that sounds good. So we're going to be watching, let's do them all at once, because they're not that long.
No.
Okay.
So we're going to be doing, we're going to start with the first one ever, which is Some Kind of Robot.
Yeah.
Then we're going to hit Dragon, and then we're going to hit Japanese cartoon. We're going to experience those emails, and then we will be back.
Burninating the countryside. Burninating the peasants.
And we're back.
Oh my god.
So, Strong Bad Email was...
It was such a...
That was... Strong Bad Email was the reason that people came to the site.
Yeah, that Strong Bad Email, the very first Strong Bad Email I ever saw was... It was my first time saw a cartoon. It was Virus, was the very first one I ever saw.
Ah, yes. That, I think, we'll definitely cover Virus later on.
It is still one of my favorite things ever.
I'm sad we're not covering Virus right now, because that is also my favorite one.
So good.
But... It will happen, don't worry. Ah, so yeah, we started off with Some Kind of Robot, which is the very first
one
from August 2001.
It perfectly sums up what Strong Bad Email is all about, which is send an email and I will make fun of you.
Yeah, and this is what people did. In a world, you know, sure, there were Homestar Runner fan forums and that kind of stuff, but like, this was the main way that people interacted with the
Homestar. Well, I mean, they interacted with the character itself.
I sent so many emails to Strong Bad, it's not even funny.
Same. None of mine ever got made.
I think I only ever sent one.
Mm. Yeah. I think an interesting thing to, looking back on it, is that, like, these were done almost weekly.
Yeah.
For the first few years, up until about, let's say, 2004, 2005... You would get a new Strong Bad email every week and a half,
every
basically.
Week, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Way back at the start, it would be updated Mondays.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Which, for any fans of the old-timey webcomic VG Cats, will not...
very funny joke.
Oh my god, please do not bring up VG Cats, please. For the love of God.
That will be another episode entirely, I'm sure.
Oh, God. But
looking forward to going there.
By the way, I want to be on the episode for the Control-Alt-Delete series.
Oh my God.
Oof. 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 Well, we'll see. We will see. For now, though, Some Kind of Robot. Yeah, as an introduction to... Just like Strong Bad's home life, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least his just day to day email.
And it is kind of the beginnings, and it's fun to see that it actually like starts right at the beginning of Strong Bad Email. It's the sort of the beginnings of like the recurring joke of how do you type with boxing gloves on?
Yeah, how does he type with boxing gloves on?
Yeah.
That is a recurring theme. That they played around with a lot. But then right at the beginning, you just get like, hey, like, do you take off your wrestling mask and boxing gloves? Like, what do you take off?
Take off your face and hands before you go to bed.
And if you do, are you some kind of robot?
Yeah. And are you a robot? If so,
what
powers
do you have?
Yeah, what powers do you have?
Do you use them for good or for awesome?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I do like... You know, like, again, like, it's a very kind of, like, teenage boy attitude.
Yeah,
of, like,
yeah.
Okay, yeah, okay. Are you a boring good guy or are you, like, an awesome evil robot? Can we... Like, yeah, he describes himself... I wrote this down. He describes himself, quote, as the greatest criminal mind.
Oh, a lot of times.
Yeah.
To be fair, I mean, I wouldn't dispute it.
I mean, after Some Kind of Bag, like the looking inside a bag, I mean, I can't disagree with
that. Yeah, I know, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a foolproof plan that worked.
Yeah, like, and it's such a short tune, but it's just, it works. Like,
yeah.
It's fun, it's silly, and you get a little insight into the way that his mind works.
And it completely conveys what the goal of Strong Bad Email is.
Yeah, right off the bat.
Yep.
It's an amazing debut.
Yes.
So by the time it got to, this would be about a year later, so late 2002, we got the other two we looked at, which are Dragon and Japanese
Cartoon,
which came out back to back.
Back to back, yeah.
Let's talk about Japanese Cartoon first.
Okay.
So Japanese Cartoon is interesting. Basically what it is, it's like a he gets asked about what he would look like if he was from, like, a Japanese anime, basically. Mm-hmm. And yeah. he starts going on with a lot of, like, Astro Boy types of, like, character design, you know? Like, his head...
Yeah.
My head would be a small bean.
yeah.
And all that kind of stuff. And then, I would have blue hair for some reason. And all that kind of stuff. But then, like, but I'll be in space and all stuff. It's actually pretty straightforward. And I'll admit, this is probably my least favorite of the Strong Bad, like, alternate universe kind of things that happen. Because I feel like out of all of them, it's the most shallow. Like,
I think that's fair. Yeah. What's interesting to me is that, I mean, this is 2002 is, I think, a couple years before anime properly broke.
Yes.
In
yes.
the West. Yes. And especially in America.
We hadn't discovered Naruto yet.
We haven't found our local, like our national reserve of Naruto yet. So
yeah,
we haven't
yeah.
mined that yeah. yet. Yet.
And so, like, especially for people of the Brothers Chaps generation, a bit older than we, yeah, you know, they're like 8 years older than we would have been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So their exposure to Japanese cartoons would have been stuff like Astro Boy, Speed Racer,
yeah.
and like the Japanese styling in computer games and video games.
I mean,
like
there
Mega
is
Man.
Some yeah. Dragon Ball Z kind of stuff happens there too.
Yes, there's a Dragon Ball Z
yeah,
reference right at the end.
Well, no, well, yeah, there's Strong Bad with Super Saiyan hair at the end,
yes.
which is just
great.
Wild,
fantastic.
But also, you've got like the round topped buildings and such.
Mm.
That it wasn't just a Dragon Ball thing, but you did see it anime, just as
yeah.
like a stylistic choice.
Yeah,
having the animal sidekick as well, and like everybody laughing together, like that's very much like an old Speed Racer thing.
It's kind of rude to call Homestar animal sidekick. So here's my major problem with Stinkoman, like as a whole thing. I don't
yeah.
like that I don't like that Pom Pom is a panda and is named Pan Pan, because that to me comes off as kind of racist, honestly, because pandas aren't even from Japan. They're from China.
No, but if you've seen the classic anime Ranma ½,
I can't claim that I
one
have.
One of the main characters and comic relief is a large panda.
Ranma ½ did a lot of things to me. It's to blame for a lot of things. I've only seen like 4 episodes of the fucking thing.
And the damage was done.
That was it.
But yeah, like I can't. Yeah, maybe I'm just overreading it. I have no idea.
No, I mean, like, you know,
I get
like,
you.
Yeah,
yeah it is maybe a little bit culturally tone deaf. Let's say,
yeah,
yeah, just a bit.
I'm not gonna confuse them with, like, being bigots or anything. It's just like,
well, no,
because you, like you said, you did also like say this was before like a lot of anime got huge in the United States.
Yeah,
so like. They only really had those cultural touchstones of, like, really old anime that somehow made it to the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, and which was, like, redubbed and syndicated, which is why you have those incredibly generic voices,
mm-hmm.
which are my favorite part of the Japanese cartoon.
Yeah, those generic voices were pretty great.
I think the funniest joke, or for me at least, the funniest joke in the whole thing, is when it cuts back to... Strong Bad, he's like, Japanese cartoons!
Japanese cartoons
like
are weird. But yeah,
yeah.
But like, yeah.
yeah,
it's like a... I like Stinkoman a lot better when he stopped being an anime parody and became a Mega Man parody.
Is about halfway through this cartoon.
Yes, that, yeah,
well, that's
it's
true.
Like,
that's
it's
true.
Got a massive Mega Man influence. Like, the music is...
Yeah, and Homestar just has Zero's feet.
Oh yeah, that's true. Jesus.
Yeah.
Stinkoman does have classic Mega Man feet too. So.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, there you go. This is basically Bob and George.
Basically,
oh god.
Yeah.
After that, they actually made a sprite comic editor using the Stinkoman sprites.
Yes, they did.
Which is
yes, they did.
Perfect. Perfect.
It really was. So a couple things I wrote down about Japanese cartoon. First of all, I really like the phrase ridiculously huge.
Yeah.
Also, I noticed the phrase "I want to be the guy."
Yeah, I did came too. Up, and I was like, "Hold wait, on, is that actually a reference to?"
No, it's not, it wouldn't be a reference to, but it might be the origin of the phrase that was used.
I would not doubt that at all.
No, me either.
That would be kind of cool. Also, my favorite joke in the whole cartoon is right at the start when he reads out the name of the person who sent the email, yes, which was James. which is amazing. Yeah. So, the last cartoon we'll talk about today, because we're already super running long, but fuck it. Who cares?
It's
Homestar. It deserves
There's so
it.
Much of it.
Yeah.
I know, right? Which is, I think, the one that the most people know.
Yes.
Just from life.
Yes.
And maybe from Guitar Hero 2.
I was about to say that, yes.
Which is Dragon. Which starts in a pretty mundane place, like, hey, Strong Bad, teach me how to draw.
I want to see your skills of an artist.
Your skills of an artist. So, while we were watching this, I was following his drawing instructions.
And
I'll post it up.
I'll put it up on Twitter.
I have drawn a Trogdor the Burninator. Unfortunately, he was talking a bit fast, and so my beefy arm doesn't look very good.
Those aren't consummate V's either.
What? Those are absolutely consummate V's.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Recently, since Flash is dead, it's dead. Strong Bad's Twitter. In general, like, the Brothers Chaps are still going to make, like, cartoons and Flash and stuff like that, but what they're trying to do is they're also trying to branch out to other things with these same characters, largely puppet stuff and all kinds of stuff, but one of their big ones is Skills of an Artist, which is
Strong Bad actually doing drawing, yeah.
Yeah, like, he actually, like, explains his drawing with his weird terms and all that kind of stuff. I love Skills of an Artist. And it wasn't until I recently revisited Dragon a bit ago that the phrase "skills of an artist" comes from Dragon, because the person wants to see Strong Bad's skills of an artist, which Strong Bad even like he briefly goes, oh, like it was like because of that weird wording right there.
it's great, and like it, I really like. You can really tell that Strong Bad, like me, loves when he's in a position where he can teach people things.
Yeah.
It's great.
Because, like he goes from, like, here are a couple of drawing tips to, like, I will burn the thing that you have created for defying me, brother.
Because it's not, like, what I want.
So let's talk about the actual dragon. Trogdor the Burninator. Whose design is just wonderful.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you could see that, like, this is the cool S.
This is the
cool
S.
Of our generation, I would say.
Yes, it really was.
I've drawn Trogdor so many times.
Because once you've watched this cartoon a couple of times, you know how to draw Trogdor. Yeah. It's like those old, like, you know, learn how to draw Sonic the Hedgehog.
Our generation's Kilroy was here.
Oh, now that is a deep pull.
Wow. But yes, also you're correct.
Oh, I really hope this means that we're gonna get a full bloated concept album about Trogdor that destroys a band's career.
It would be like Strong Mad Sticks cover band. And it's called Sticks. STICKS.
Yes.
Stick.
One thing that I keep forgetting is that he starts off drawing a different dragon that is not good.
Yes, yep. It's awful.
Mm-hmm.
And then, in his second draft, he brings back the beefy arm from
the previous
draft to complete the look. And you know what? Like, it really works.
It works because
he's using the negative space in the back of the neck, right?
Yeah.
Oh god.
Yes.
My favorite part of this short is the part where Strong Bad's looking at all the other people's, like, drawings of Trogdor.
Yes.
Like, first there's Coach Z, who's drawing this weird snake dude, which I think is pretty awesome, yes. But then it's...
Although, Coach Z, apart from the beefy arm, Coach Z has followed Strong Bad's instructions.
Yes, he has.
It's just that the proportions are all fucked.
It's like that game where you, like, blindfold someone and you have to, like, you tell them to do instructions and they have to do it exactly as literally as you say. Like, if you want to,
yes.
Yeah.
Where, like, if you, like, tell them, put the butter knife in the peanut butter, and then you just, like, stab it through the lid or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
But, like, it's basically like that. And, but then my favorite one, which comes up next, is Strong Mad, and he's just carving the word Dargan in the table with a knife.
Yeah. You just keep doing what you're doing there.
Yeah, he won't fault Strong Mad for following his bliss.
But also, Strong Mad has a knife.
Also, Strong Mad has a knife.
That's a fair point.
And is basically just like one giant muscle.
Yes.
But Strong, you know what? Strong Mad looks a bit like Super Meat Boy's dad.
Oh god, he looks like a protagonist of a game by the guy who made Alien Hominid.
He does, doesn't he?
He kind of does. Yeah,
I want to see Strong Mad beat up all the Castle Crashers.
Yeah,
he could do it
easily. Yeah,
yeah.
And then Strong Sad is here, which Strong Bad is very upset about.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know you were doing one, he said. And Strong Sad, like, he's drawn, like, okay, this pretty cool dragon.
Yes.
Well, it's more of a wyvern, because it's only got the two legs and the two wings.
Well, because he didn't put the beefy arm on yet.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And, but, like, he says that he's improved on Strong Bad's technique, and has been using, quote, chiaroscuro techniques, which is not true. That's not... Chiaroscuro is using extreme darkness as a way to highlight... Okay,
you
look.
You know that the Brothers Traps did that on purpose to annoy people like you, right? Right?
It's another example of Strong Sad pretending that he's a lot smarter than he is.
Yes.
Yes, yeah. Strong Sad is a charlatan.
Though, because Strong Bad then burns, like, that drawing with his beamer. Later.
With a BMW branded lighter.
Oh, God, it's so fucking...
Because
of course he would have a BMW lighter.
But yes. I will also say that in one of the Strong Bad games, that picture does show up again. So at least Strong Bad either made a copy of that or was not discouraged by that and just redrew it.
Which I'm glad about.
Yeah.
And
so then we transition into the part that everyone remembers most, which is the music video
for Trogdor.
For the original song Trogdor. And Alex, since you're the resident musician, since you're the music lady on this particular episode, would you want tell us about the song? What are your thoughts on the actual song?
The song is just incredible because you have Strong Bad doing this kind of like
hair metal scream,
this kind of sort of heart. It's halfway to a hair metal scream. He's getting there,
yeah.
But he obviously can't get there because he's not a hair metal vocalist. The MIDI guitar is so fucking good. I love it so much. I do like that. Like at one point, the lyrics don't fit in with the meter of the song.
Oh,
he's trying to add too many words.
Yeah,
and I bet that's on purpose.
Of course, it's on purpose. I'm going to say one thing that I noticed, which I notice a little bit more each time, and which annoys me a little bit more each time, is that the backing track is like bad.
It's really, really bad.
Okay,
but even so, it's still really good.
Yeah, really.
It sounds like garbage, but it's
garbage and it's perfect.
It's the tune that sticks in your head.
Yeah,
but here's the thing. This also illustrates my favorite thing about Strong Bad. In that, okay, so the first part is like, he's like Trogdor is a man, well, he was a dragon man, now he's a dragon, da, da, da. Burden-eating the peasants, burden-eating, da, da, da. And their thatch roof cottages! And, okay, the reason why I love Strong Bad is that he is posturing so fucking hard, because he wants to pretend that he's not this guy who's a huge goddamn nerd for like medieval bullshit and all these other little things that he loves. He knows but the he term Thadros Cottage and know what they are and all that kind of stuff, but he pretends he doesn't love that by pretending to be the machoest asshole on the planet, and I love Stormback for that. It's great. But,
and it's also like it's also kind of really in keeping with just the legacy of rock and roll.
Because
if you go back and listen to like Led Zeppelin and shit, that's all about elves.
It is.
You know?
No, for sure.
So like he's just continuing in the path of his influences, which I respect.
I want to talk about this real quick. 100% of what I think make Strongbad the most nuanced character on Homestar Runner, because he is this posturing asshole who pretends he's a lot tougher than he really is, but it peeks out every once in a while, and it's whenever it does, it's great, it's perfect, and it really makes Strongbad much more interesting and hilarious and good. I love Strongbad because of that.
I think you're completely right. The one last thing I wanted to say about the music video thing is that the music video was clearly all the assets were drawn by Strongsad.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So not only did he burn his brother's drawing, but he then press ganged him into doing a music video for his terrible dragon. So that was a whole smorgasbord of Homestar Runner, and we've barely scratched the surface. Yeah. But we just. Homestar is such an important part of all of our online childhoods, I think.
And we've already like touched on several things that I still like. Just Dragon, the email on its own, is like something that I still reference. We still reference it all the time. I think I'm pretty sure you said like last week you got one Majesty of Kaemon bit him in the face.
Yes, I literally and did I say that
take,
at some point.
I will take any opportunity I can to say like some variation of a more different S.
I know we say this quite a bit, but like some of these cartoons, like they infected our vocabulary.
Uh-huh,
And I'd think none more so than Homestar Runner's entire world and entire sensibility.
Like, because as I mentioned before, because I mentioned that like I still quote Great Jorb all the time. I say that all the time, and then like in terms of like Dragon, I know. I sing the song from like Trogdor all the time. I do all the time, and like I would say that like in terms of like my adolescence, where I was like in that age of like middle school and stuff like that, the biggest cultural influence to me that still impacts me to this day was Homestar Runner. It is the source of my type of surrealist humor. And types of like just weird kind of like meta jokes that it's so incredibly important to myself as someone who, you know, likes comedy, who like is a who like aspires to make people laugh, you know, like I channel my inner Homestar Runner, my inner Strongbad all the time whenever I try to make someone laugh, because I feel like that's where so much of my like so much where I find so much, because like I feel like the best thing about Homestar Runner is that it's a thing that has existed for on the internet for like 10 years, like almost 20 at this point. Like it's, and even still, like, unlike a lot of stuff, like, I'm a big listener of your podcast. I love Flash Japan. I love the concept.
Well, we appreciate that.
Yes, you do.
It's fantastic. And you're well aware that there is so much content that existed from our childhood that was in some way extremely problematic.
That is 100% true.
And that's the thing. It's like, Homestar Runner managed to avoid so much of that. Like
there's no cussing. There's no edgelord shit.
Yeah.
Like the closest is that there's a couple like jokes at like Strongbad talks about Marchapan's school, and that one was like really like a making fun of like a special snowflake kind of thing, which kind of sucked. But like, that's like one cartoon out of like 18 years of stuff.
Yeah.
Like it's, there's not a lot of stuff there that is so incredibly problematic that it's hard to watch, you know?
Yeah. Like, and I think that's part of why it's managed to stick around for so long. I mean, okay. Yeah. There have been hiatuses and so on, but like new Homestar, which, you know, again, we'll be getting to cover in the future, but like new Homestar tonally feels like Homestar from 10 years ago.
Yeah, it doesn't really change.
It's like, very, it's because consistent. They avoid a lot of the obvious jokes and because they avoid a lot of easy, meanness, it means that they have barely dated. Which is not something you can say for most of the stuff we've covered.
It's so impressive.
Yeah. Like, yeah, okay, technology-wise, you can tell, okay, yeah, this is made like an old-timey version of Flash, but like...
That's the only thing that dates
it. Yeah, aesthetically, the writing, like, this is still great. Like, yeah. I have shown a few of these, I've shown a few cartoons of this to my youngest sister, who is like, she's a teenager now, right? Like, she barely existed when Homestar started. And, like, she can still enjoy this stuff without any of the context needed or anything like that. Because they're still just great, they're just great episodes and great characters.
Yeah.
And, like, it's just this weird nonsense kind of, like, progression of jokes that, like, it's a free association. It's like a Exquisite Corpse with like two people, basically, of, like, making a joke. And it's great.
Kind of, I'm like... Yeah, and another thing is that there are all of these small turns of phrase that become established things, that become whole characters, almost.
Y'all biscuit heads.
exactly. But, like, the Japanese cartoon, Strong Bad Email, invents this whole alternate universe that more cartoons would be set in later.
Yeah, it turns up, like, frequently after this.
Yeah. And the way that they're so happy to not necessarily reuse old content, but build on it and build on it and build on it and in a way create from, you know, the origins of like this small silly children's book thing, like create this weird world with characters that you kind of know.
It's one of those things where like the characters are so well defined that. Like, okay, so, there's this one thing I was thinking about, there's this one example that, like, the show called, Canceled Too Soon, Bibbs and Whitney, basically it's a podcast where they talk about, like, various different, like, shows that have only existed for, like, one season or less.
Okay.
And one of the things they talk about is a good example of, like, what is a good character. Like, how you would know that you have a good character is that if you can think of that character in any random setting you can think of, you'll know exactly what they would do. Their example is, like, Frasier at a heavy metal concert. Like...
Oh, yeah.
So, like, you could picture that episode in your head so fine because you understand that character so well. And that is... that is what Homestar Runner is. These characters are so incredibly well-defined. You drop them into any setting, any kind of context, any kind of joke, it works. Because you can know exactly how they're going to react to it. And that's impressive for these really simple characters, honestly, too. Like, it's...
Yeah.
They're simply designed, they're very not... Most of them are not very complex in terms of character stuff, but they're like, their personalities are so strong that you know exactly what they would do. And that's why I love it.
Yeah, I think that's a really nice sentiment to end on,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Because, as expected, there are three of us yammering about this, and we've watched a lot of cartoons, and we've recorded an awful lot of podcasts.
Yes, we have.
Yeah. I'm incapable of recording a podcast that isn't like 2 hours long.
Well, we're coming up to that mark.
Yes, we are.
Well, pre-editing it.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't think we'll have time to get to our emails, but we definitely, hopefully, have given people plenty of stuff to think about. Like, if you have Homestar in you somehow, you know, in your brain.
Yeah. He's living like, in your head somehow, Coach Z in your locker.
But, yeah, no, it, like, if you have any Homestar memories, any Homestar suggestions, what your favorites were, favorite characters, all that kind of stuff, then, like, please, email in. You can do that to flashinthepancast@gmail.com. And you can also send other suggestions, confessions of love, baby pictures, I don't know, whatever. HT, why don't you tell the people at home where they can find you, what you're working on, anything else you want to plug?
Okay, sure. So first off, I don't really use Twitter anymore. Not really. Like, I kind of...
And who could blame you?
Yeah. Like, I have a Twitter, but I don't even use it right now. Like, it's very sparing if I were to use it. Though, Toontown Public Works does have a Twitter. It is Toontown Public. That's where if, like, we, like, ever... That's where we, like, talk about the new episodes we released. That's where all stuff like that. We have a Patreon, which is patreon.com/TTPW. And we have like on that Patreon, there's like a bonus podcast where we talk about bad animated movies, and then try to say something nice about them. which
You're
is a lot harder sometimes
work.
Than
yes.
others.
Yeah.
I was just about to like give out the email address for Toontown Public Works, but it's like, you just listen to the
podcast.
Actually,
people can find this on your Twitter and stuff.
Yeah, like all our stuff is on our Twitter. Like that's where you can find also, as we, our podcast is on like pretty much anywhere you can stream a podcast, really.
Yep.
Like it's on iTunes, Google Play, all different kinds of things. Not SoundCloud, not yet, I don't think, but there's a lot of places where you can get it. Also, just as a little teaser thing, I am currently working on a newer project right now. And it's actually,
is this a scoop? Is this an exclusive?
This is an exclusive. I'm not saying anything specific yet because I'm still working out the kinks. But it is involved. It would be involving these two doofuses, and it's going to be another podcast. And I'm really excited for it. I actually have a lot of stuff planned. I am actually going to be putting a lot of work into it. It's something I'm really excited about. So,
yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So just
we can confirm that the two doofuses he's talking about are the two of us.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yes.
But yeah, it's exciting. Yeah, so that's where people can find you. Alex, what about you?
Oh, I'm on Twitter at Dex01. You can also find me on Bandcamp. AlexValentine.bandcamp.com. I did compose the theme for the show. I saw someone tweet me about one of the songs I wrote, which I can only assume came from listening to this.
That's really cool.
So thank you for that. Also youtube.com/VNDLP, where I do many varied Let's Play videos. I have a new series coming very soon.
Yeah, and you can find me on Twitter at Gertrude Perkins. That's Gertrude PRKNS. And you can find the show Twitter on Twitter, funnily enough, at FlashITPancast. That's at FlashItPancast. The website, as we mentioned at the top of the show, is flashinthepancast.com, where you can find links to all the previous episodes. You can also do us a favor by leaving us reviews and ratings on iTunes and Stitcher as well, because that does actually help,
mm-hmm.
I found out.
Yeah.
So if you want to do us a favor, and yeah, just like, if you like the podcast, then like share it with a friend.
Yeah.
And
yes.
Yeah,
boost
tell people cool things.
Make them so they actually are popular. Yes, please.
Yes,
that would
please.
Be cool. I'd like that.
Yeah, I want to be popular. I don't know, a guest spot on international waters or something.
You want to be the guy too?
I want to be, you know what? I want to be the guy too. Yeah, I believe that's it. So, I've been Tom.
I've been Alex.
And I've been HT.
And until next time, remember that the guy wouldn't know Majesty if it came up and bit him in the face.
Blam this piece of crap.
Back in the past!